And you're listening to Public Radio KDLL. I'm Jay Barrett. I've got Sal Cassano in here from our board of directors and Wednesday nights.
Hello, everybody.
You got my mic up there. Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Good to be here, Jay.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here and helping out. Did I mention you were on the board?
You did.
Did I?
I am a very new board president. Let's see what I've gotten myself into.
All right. Well, in this hour, we're going to be talking about transportation. I have Sherry Connor here. And what is your connection with transportation?
Well, I'm a member of the Kenai Peninsula Transportation Task Force, which is a group of community members and local organizations, mostly nonprofit organizations, and medical care organizations that are working to improve and enhance our current transportation that we have for public transportation in our community.
Are there I don't take it, and so I'm wholly inexperienced on the topic, but is there additional need? Because I see those CART buses everywhere. I mean, it seems like a successful program. Or
so I got involved about 6 years ago, actually asking people to come together to talk about what the need looked like for transportation. I work for the Behavioral Health Department of the hospital and also am a coalition coordinator for Change for the Kenai. And we were doing community assessments, behavioral health assessments, needs assessments. And every assessment that has been done for the last 10 years has identified transportation as a barrier for people getting to access into services. And so we decided to start looking at that. In my job at Behavioral Health, I saw that we had a lot of clients that just didn't have any form of transportation and weren't able to navigate the system that's currently in place for public transportation of carts. It's not a traditional bus route. It's a lot of planning involved and being organized. And, you know, my clients just were not able to access that service very well. And so we started looking about, was that a barrier to other people and other organizations? And we all started coming together and meeting and saw that it was, and maybe looking at doing some changes in how we traditionally provide it in our community.
Oh, well, in the last 5 years, what have you come up with?
Well, so 5 years ago, we all took part in updating our transportation coordinated plan, which is a requirement for funding for our community, for funding that is specifically designed for people with disabilities or elderly. And that plan is updated every 5 years and then approved by the state, and then we're able to apply for additional funding for the next 5 years. And so 5 years ago, we talked about looking at what a bus route would look like and, more coordination. Collaborating with other organizations that are already providing transportation, sometimes to the same individuals, and maybe all working together in a more organized way.
Oh.
And so some of that has happened. We have the Nanilchik Bumps is now online, and you can actually get a bus and a ride from Homer all the way into Kenai. And so that system has now coordinated with some of the senior centers and other organizations along the road. So they'll pick people up if they happen to be in Kasilof and get them into town. And for very economical, I think it's a round trip for $10.
Oh, wow.
So you have to look at their schedule and kind of organize a little bit of your planning around their schedule. But it's an opportunity for people that live in Homer and maybe want to come up to Fred Meyer's or Walmart or just want to come up to the hospital here or, you know, whatever. They have some things to do in our community.
And the benefit of that, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the benefit of that is, as far as pre-planning needs to go, less pre-planning needs to go into riding a scheduled bus kind of thing rather than something that you are making an appointment for. And so that there are penalties for standing up the carts, right?
There are. I'm not exactly sure if the ins and outs of how that works with carts, but that was one of the ideas that didn't work with our population is because if they were late or needed to change something, they weren't organized enough to do it in the
right
in the amount of time that they needed to rearrange the ride through carts. So there was a penalty. There is a penalty program there, but I don't know exactly what that looks like. Yeah. And I think that it has changed, so I'm not exactly sure what it is today either.
Sure. And in the context of healthcare and behavioral healthcare, being organized is something to be concerned about, isn't it? I mean, it's a legitimate obstacle to a lot of people.
It's a skill that you learn after you've been stabilized and have had, considerable amount of treatment care. That's when you start actually getting organized.
Oh.
Typically, individuals that come into service and are needing services don't even stay in the same, they're homeless, they couch surf. They're not even the same location every day. And so trying to pre-plan rides when you don't know where you're going to be that night or the next morning is really difficult. Keeping, a hold of a punch card is really difficult. Affording that punch card is really difficult. So there's just barriers mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah. Are there ways that agencies, healthcare agencies and such, make allowances for people's conditions?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm sure that they do on a certain scale. I'm sure that they do that through the CARTS organization. I'm sure that happens.
Yeah.
Through our organizations, we generally each one of the different healthcare organizations that have individuals that don't have transportation to get to them are really navigating that system alone a lot of the times, trying to figure out how to get someone there by either paying for a cab for them to come or flexing their scheduled appointments so that if they're a little bit late that they're able to still be seen, or picking them up themselves, staff actually going and getting people and or taking them home, or wherever they're actually going to their next location.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that costs money and time from the organization. And
it does.
You have
so
to look for grants.
It does. Like the Kenai Senior Center has a transportation program for their seniors, and they are collaborating with, any other organization and helping, with people getting to where they need to go. If there's a senior from Soldotna that maybe is at the Fred Meyers, when they take the other seniors to Fred Meyers, they can maybe hitch a ride back, to Kenai if they want to go to a physician over there or maybe to Walmart instead to go shopping. So I think that there's a lot more organization between all of the agencies because we typically will see a lot of the same people helping one agency's individual get to another agency's appointment.
Oh.
That's collaboration.
They're collaborating like that.
Oh.
That's really neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How would one sign up then for this type of benefit to say, get from Homer to Kenai?
So from the Homer to Kenai, that would be through the bump system, and you would call them and sign up to do that. And so you would just kind of, if you have a provider that you're working for, they generally are at our meetings. We have a meeting once a month. In June, it will be on the 18th at 1:00 at the Independent Living Center. Always the public is invited. We try to have a call-in number for people that don't have transportation to get to the meeting or maybe are on a tight schedule. And so we're really, really motivated to see some changes made and some more options in our community. And if you're working with a provider, they can always call me directly. My phone number is 714-4197. I can get them in touch with another agency. And it really is just by all of us organizing together amongst ourselves at this point, but with a future vision of something more concrete,
Mm-hmm. What a tremendous service that is going to be to this community.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How many agencies are we talking about? I think you mentioned a few earlier.
So we probably have 9 or 10 different agencies, and then we have a number of people in the community that frequently come to our meetings and participate that are directly affected by lack of transportation.
Mm. Okay. How many people are we talking about potentially? Well, maybe two questions. How many people need rides? Maybe that's the only question. How many people are we talking about? 100 a day? 100 rides a day?
That's a great question. And I know that a recent assessment was done, that CARTS had done for looking at that directly. And I don't even know what their ridership directly is that use the CART system. But we're talking about rides that are being paid for by, you know, other resources, Medicaid, transportation, that are handled by the cab companies that for people going to appointments every day.
Oh, right.
Kenaitse has a transportation program that they use for their individuals that they have in service. We pay for a lot of transportation for our clients. We also have two vehicles that are dedicated to transport clients. There's just thinking about, I don't know, that would be a great answer. We've done a lot of surveys. At the Homeless Connect, we usually do a survey and ask a couple questions about transportation, and generally more than half the people that attend that don't have any form of transportation at all.
No, and that means not family or friends or any other way to get to those appointments.
Correct.
Wow.
So then you have a whole nother population that maybe just doesn't have a driver's license due to either legal circumstances or medical circumstances. And so they're not able to even have access to a vehicle, or probably won't have access to a vehicle for a while. Those individuals still need to have access to medical care, but they also need to be able to have access to jobs. And so I've frequently talked to employers and surveyed employers at like job fairs and said, how much does transportation, is it a barrier to people getting to you to work? And it's a big deal.
Really? Really? What have you heard?
Transportation is one of the, you know, leading problems why people don't actually get to work either on time or for that day.
Wow. You know, there's a kid who worked at McDonald's here, and he lives, down the road towards town from here. And this winter, I would see him hitchhiking into town. And this is like right after 9 when I got off the air. He didn't go to work till 11, but, you know, he wanted to get down there bright and early. Okay. He's out there he finally got a car, but I probably gave him a ride half dozen times, you know, just to extra cold day or something. But it's amazing how many people fall into that category.
Or just can't afford a vehicle and insurance and upkeep. I mean, if you think about just the average person that has a car and a job and a house, that if your car broke down tomorrow and had an expensive maintenance that you needed to do, would it take you a couple weeks to get that done? What would you do in the meantime? And how much money have you set aside to actually pay for your transportation in the meantime? And so it's not just, certain population. I think we all could benefit from public transportation.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I know that there's some nights out that I would love a bus to ride home instead of paying a cab.
Yeah.
What's the in your studies and your surveys and such, do you have a figure on what it might be costing the economy that these people can't perform at the level where they get to work every day on time?
And our group doesn't have any funding at all. So we're all just volunteers going in and working together to come up with saying how we can actually maybe get some funding to look at what those numbers are. So right now we're not even sure what the cost would look like. And we are funded in our community there's two different types of pots of money that Department of Transportation has. One of those is human services money, and those goes to people with a disability or meet the elder category. And so the program that is funded for those dollars is the Independent Living Center, and they have funding in Homer, Seward, and the Kenai, Central Kenai Peninsula. And they have a voucher program where you can purchase a voucher that gives you so much money for a cab, And each community has their own transportation provider that takes those vouchers. And I believe you pay $3 for each one of those vouchers. And if I'm not mistaken, it's around a $12 value. There's a contract negotiation made between independent living and the transportation provider. And so it's met in the middle, and this is the individual for $3, their match towards their transportation, are able to maybe go $12 worth of rides. So it's very helpful. You get so many vouchers a month, and then you get to use those for anything that you need, because it's not just healthcare and, you know, jobs. People also need to socialize. You know, I hear people that aren't able to actually go to any type of event in our community because they don't have transportation.
Well, or to the grocery store.
The
grocery store. Even.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, and isolation is really a concern for the elderly, too. And that
Absolutely.
Sounds like a lot of people who might benefit from a system.
Right. So just them getting out and maybe even going and visiting, you know, a friend or their family member is important. So those vouchers can be used for anything. They don't say you can't go one place and it has to be used just directly for one item. So it's a great program. That's through the Independent Living Center. They were just refunded. They'll have vouchers available July 1. Last year, they had about 225 people use that voucher program, and their funding was actually increased for this next fiscal year. So they're looking at about being able to provide about 10,000 rides. If you're interested in seeing if you're eligible, you can call the number 262-6333 and ask them about that. They don't have any funding left for this fiscal year. They were just refunded. They'll have vouchers available July 1. Last year, they had about 225 people use that voucher program, and their funding was actually increased for this next fiscal year. So they're looking at about being able to provide about 10,000 rides.
Oh, wow.
So that's
wonderful.
A great increase. And so if you fall in the category of having a disability that qualifies for this program, or, you know, meet the age category, then independent living, I think you do an intake with them, and then you can purchase your vouchers each month.
But it does sound like they run out. Do they run out during the month too?
So it's a yearly, a year program. So they actually ran out, I believe, in April last month. Last year, they were funded, let me see here, I've got their numbers. Last year, they were only funded for the Kenai Central Peninsula area, Kenai-Soldotna area, about $45,000. This year, they were actually funded for the full amount that they requested of $90,000.
Oh, wow.
So they have twice the amount of dollars just here in the Central Peninsula. And then they have money for the Seward community of $25,000, and in Homer, they will rehab a $50,000 award.
Is this from the federal DOT?
It's
It can't be state of Alaska money.
It's pass-through dollars for health and social services dollars for transportation for a specific population, but it's also money put in by the Alaska Mental Health Trust.
Oh, okay.
So it's a combined join of different pots of money going for a specific population.
Oh, okay. That's what you're talking about, the different pots of money.
Yes. Wow. Then there's another whole pot of money that's just for your basic public transportation, bus systems that you think about as when the words public transportation come to mind. And that traditionally in our community has been awarded to CART, Central Area Rural Transit, and they use it for their CARTS van system, which is a on-demand system, basically. Or no, it's a... Anyway, they have that system where you call the day before, plan your ride, and it's a punch card where you pay per zone. And so they receive the rest of the DOT money for our area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw the CARTS acronym, I thought it meant Central Area Rapid Transit. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be fast.
Fast.
Yet on our highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for our rural community. So, and they do have, I believe that they do have some program in Homer. I don't know that they have a program in Seward for carts. Yeah.
Let's see. I have an announcement I'd like to play here. It's you're listening to Public Radio, KDLL, and we are in day one or one and a half, depending on how you measure it, of our spring fun drive. And if you'd like to support Public Radio and awesome programming that you hear all day, give us a call. Our number is 283-8433. Operators are standing by, and it doesn't look like they're on the phones right now, so give a call right now, and they will be happy to talk to you. Let's see, I'm going to play this here, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit more about public radio.
Hello, my name is Kristen Mitchell. I am a board member at KDLL. When I first moved to Alaska 20-some years ago, I was not sure that I wasn't moving off the end of the universe. My parents, who lived in the outskirts of LA, were certain that I was moving off the edge of the known universe. Then I realized that we had public radio in Kenai, Alaska, so it seemed like it was a much more civilized place than I had anticipated. And I've really enjoyed KDLL and all of its programming since I moved to Alaska. I appreciate different things about KDLL. I appreciate the national programs, the national public radio programs, the in-depth news stories, and the cooking show is always fun. And more recently, we've had a real wealth of local programming that has been fun to watch grow and see local DJs doing a whole variety of musical shows and drinking on the last frontier with some local expertise about local brewing. And the Kenai Conversation, I think, has brought in-depth local recording for all of us who are interested in what's happening in our own community. And so I just think the local programming has really brought a depth to public radio that wasn't here when I first moved here. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next 5 to 10 years with KDLL. So I challenge you to think about why you support public radio and give us a call here at KDLL to make a financial contribution and support local programs or national programs, commercial-free public radio.
This is Public Radio KDLL. I'm Jay Barrett. With me is Sal Cassano, and who is on our board, and Sherry Connor, who is here talking about transportation stuff. Before we jump back into that, let me remind you that we are in our fund drive, and if you'd like to help support Public Radio, give us a call. We're at 283-8433. We have operators standing by. I want to thank Larry and Carol Ford. Thank you both very much for your contribution. Carol, if you're listening, I haven't seen you yet since I've been back, so drop by if you're in the neighborhood.
And I only saw a picture from Crucible, and I said, hey, I know that lovely lady.
Oh, man. Sal?
Yeah, you know, Sherry here was talking about, you know, about grant fundings and things for public transportation and that, and it brought me to this little bit that, you know, KDLL's federal grant requirement has changed. And sometimes that's a little scary to us. We now have to raise an additional $50,000 every year to qualify for that same level of grant funding. And I don't think a lot of folks out there know that, but that's a pretty serious increase in what we need to come up with. And if we don't, we won't be able to afford things like local staff and local programming and all of that jazz that we love, all of us public radio goers. So please help keep KDLL growing and going strong into our future. You can do that by calling 283-8433 right now. Or you can always donate online anytime at www.kdll.org. And we thank you in advance.
Yeah. In fact, if you wanted to come by, we have lunch coming. Jenny is out getting pizza right now. So if you'd like to come by and have a little pizza for lunch and bring your check, we are on the Near North Road, east of Edie's and west of Wildwood. We are the epicenter, I think.
Oh, yes.
Of all things Kenai. Well, it is 12:33. Oh, let me mention number one more time. You can never mention it too much. 283-8433. So it's 12:34, and we're talking about transportation here. And when we took a break, Sherry Connor, our guest from Central Peninsula, which department? Mental health? Behavior health. We were talking about the different batches of money and where they come from and where they go. What's the total amount of money that is directed towards the Central Peninsula in transportation funding? Is that a figure you have in that pile?
Well, let's see. The money that we talked about, the Human Services grant, and so that was for a specific population. And then it looks like the public transit grant that is federal pass-through dollars through the state for the Central Peninsula is, we were awarded here, that would be to CARTS, about $742,967.
Well, say that again?
$742,967.
Wow. How much could we use?
It looks like their request was for just over $1 million. So that must be what they're anticipating the need for their service level at this time to be. I think that the cap on this grant is $1.1 million total for any organization or any place in Alaska. Like Juneau, that's, you know, they had asked for well over $3 million, and they really only received the 1.1.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a cap on how much you actually get.
For each individual area?
Each individual area in the state, yes.
Yeah, you were mentioning off the air that the borough is getting involved and that it's a good thing.
Yeah, the borough has been very supportive of the Kenai Peninsula Transportation Task Force. They have allowed us a facilitator for helping in our meetings, and they actually agreed and did a resolution to provide our group some planning money match if the state of Alaska Department of Transportation had provided us. We applied for some money through the Department of Transportation to use for a study to find out all those numbers that you had asked for, how many people would ride, what is the actual need in our community, and what is the cost of that. We asked for some of those planning dollars, and both of our cities, Soldotna and Kenai, offered to put some match money into that grant application, and as well as the borough. The state DOT didn't fund us for that planning. We do intend to re-ask again. And so there, you know, well, hopefully that the borough and the cities will still be interested in helping out with those match dollars so that we can look and see what that actual need looks like and what it would take for us to get some type of a route system, which is what a bus system is. And as a bus system, I'm not, and the group isn't really thinking of like a big city bus. We're thinking of a smaller, like CARTS vehicle that will transport and maybe circle in between the two cities, giving people an opportunity to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the outlying communities. How do we do that? And maybe that whole collaboration piece with, you know, some other agencies, or maybe a one-time trip to each of those communities during the day would be helpful. And then just helping people actually get that organized piece. What does that look like? And generally, if someone's going from their home in Kasilof and they really need to go to a dental appointment, maybe the dental office person can actually be helpful with, hey, this is probably when you probably need to make your appointment to get onto this ride, and be helpful in that way. And by just educating each agency and that would be using that within our community so that they can help educate the people, the consumers that are going to be using it. So then it's just not one person responsible or one organization, that we all spread the load so that, you know, educating, because we've never had a traditional public transportation option in our community, that education piece about how to use it is really valuable.
I can't help but think that it would behoove any agency or organization to be on board with this. When you think about moving folks from point A to point B in any manner, economically, it's going to have a return. Because what do people do when they move from point A to point B? They spend money. And it is a good investment. I can't help but think that it wouldn't be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, was the borough and the two cities money contingent on the state grant that you didn't
yes.
get?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was on. It wasn't really enough. The match dollars weren't enough to actually do the planning that we really needed to do. So we really needed for Department of Transportation to kick that their grant funds in for
How much was that again?
I think we asked them for $50,000.
Wow. Yeah. And so how much would you need for the big study you're looking at?
We were hoping to get around $75,000 to do that.
Oh, okay.
And that would be to hire a contractor to look at all of those numbers. Somebody that knows transportation. Most of the people that are at the table of our transportation task force either have ridden public transportation, have clients who need public transportation, but their expertise is not public transportation or any transportation. So we all have experience in, you know, other areas, but just see a need. So we're all out there advocating for a service and would need to hire a contractor who actually was skilled in that area to see exactly what those numbers look like.
Mm-hmm. And probably transportation looks really different in maybe other communities, especially in the lower 48. So some studies that have already been done, they may not apply very well to a place like ours.
With the population density.
The population density and how we're spread out.
Spread out.
There's not a lot of comparison data probably for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I remember when I was a kid trying to ride the bus in Anchorage on visits to Anchorage, you know, from Dillingham. And it was the most horrible experience standing out there at 20 below waiting for a bus to show up. And I only tried it once, and it was horrible, and I never did it again. But I lived in Seattle when I was in my 20s, and
very
it was
different.
The best bus system in the world. They had 20 buses going in every direction at all times. But, you know, it's all about the dollars, you know, the Benjamins.
And I think it's if you know how to navigate the system, then you don't get to the bus stop way super early because you are, you know, familiar with what time the bus is going to be there. And the bus generally is on time. And so you get there in the amount of time you need and you're not sitting and waiting a real long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever envision bus stops here?
I do. I envision there being specific locations that people would generally go to and that maybe they could easily go from that location to wherever they need to be, either by walking or, you know, it may take multiple different layers of transportation to get to one place. But, yeah, I do.
I could see, you know, I mean, ever since I was told about the show and was thinking about it was, you know, I could see a couple of different hub and spoke sort
Absolutely.
Of models right here in the Central Peninsula alone, you know, and, you know, say you go downtown Soldotna. Well, you know, there is shopping within walking distance right downtown Soldotna, you know,
so, there is.
So there could be a hub there, you know, and then there could be buses that head east and west or south, north and south and west.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the directions, James.
All the directions.
Yeah, but if you only had a few dollars, you know, to spend, you know, on transportation, if you went on a bus, which traditionally is the least expensive way to travel in a bus system, and then you had a few extra dollars that you could take a cab from the other locations, because taking a cab within the city center is, you know, fairly economical. Taking a cab from Kenai to Soldotna is pretty expensive. And if you're going to Kenai and Soldotna twice a day to work, it probably is not feasible for someone to be able to have that as their daily transportation.
Oh, wow. What's a cab ride cost between Kenai and Soldotna?
Probably close to probably $25, $30.
$30.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Holy cow.
So if you think about if you think about how our transportation dollars are really being spent, and I'm talking about all of our transportation dollars that all agencies, employers, you know, employers help out with people getting to work, you know, often too. It's in their interest for their employees to be there. And the Medicaid funding for transportation, that's a lot of money going towards ineffective way to use it. So how many bus tokens could be for $30.
Exactly. And that's also think about the whenever we carpool, which public transit is a great way to carpool. the better or the less impact we have on our environment. And that's a real thing, too, to consider.
And absolutely. And if you're interested in environmental impact and the transportation, I will be at the Soldotna Library tonight with the Climate Control Group, and they will be talking about that at 5:30.
Oh, really? And wait, tell me more about this. So I remember.
Yes, I was invited to come and talk about, you know, our transportation plan, and because they're looking about ride share and those type of things because of the environmental impact. And so I'm just invited to come and talk about what we're looking at transportation wise. So all the other aspects that they're looking at, I don't actually know, but it's 5:30 tonight at the Soldotna Library.
Oh, wow. That that group got started last year sometime, I think, and have been having regular meetings and readings and such.
Yeah, I think they're touching on a bunch of different topics, but they really want to know how we can improve transportation, the impact that we have now. Because if you think about it, I know that for years, if you worked out at Swanson River and everybody drove on their own, but now the oil field companies have, you know, a van. Everybody parks at Fred Meyer's or wherever, mm-hmm. and they go in one vehicle. Well, that is a coordinated, collaborative transportation. And there are actually federal dollars that you can tap into for employers that do that to increase the amount of transportation grant funding that we have in our community for the more people that actually ride share and employers that can track those numbers. That can be match dollars for increased funding.
Wow. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that. So I gave you my sort of thumbnail vision of what I would see a system look like. What's your ideal vision of what transportation here in the Central Peninsula would look like, ideally?
Ideally, it would be definitely a route system between Kenai and Soldotna, that maybe the bus that's picking people up in Kenai, then there's one in Soldotna at the same time, and they just kind of circular back so that there's multiple routes per day, and they'll go either the Kenai Spur or on to K Beach, so they cover the loop. And then there's also the possibility of having a couple of morning and evening back to Nikiski, so for people that worked in Nikiski, and then one into Sterling. And, you know, the Sterling has a community center that could be a hub if people could get there, then getting into Soldotna or Kenai to work might be an option for them. Same thing for Kasilof.
Mm-hmm. Who, I mean, we talked about the folks in your profession or that your profession serves, who may need rides. But who is everybody else? Where do they live? I mean, what's the greatest area of need, or is it so spread out as Sal said?
I think it is spread out. I think that people that live inside the city have greater opportunities. They walk, they ride a bike, they're able to get a ride easier because they're not going as far. I always have problems with, you know, sometimes it's cheaper to live in Nikiski than it is right in the community. You can get a cheaper rental.
Definitely.
And then those individuals in Nikiski, they don't think about, they see that the rent is cheaper, but the transportation costs may actually build that rent up to what it would be like inside town.
Well, as we get closer into the communities, the rent is more likely to be higher, and people can't afford that,
right.
So they live out, and then they rely on rides from out. You know, and for example, myself, I am south of Clam Gulch.
Yes.
I would ride public transportation in if it was available.
Yeah.
You know, but instead, I put in 4 years over 100,000 miles on my vehicle.
Oh, wow.
So, that's a lot. So
it is.
And, you know, even like as small of a community that we are, we're so vast that part of the problem that we found in all of the assessments for the community needs assessments that we had done is that we have an Alaskan way of thinking of being independent. We're homesteaders. Mm-hmm. We're independent. We're doing it on our own. We want our property to be, you know, if we invite people in, that's great. But if you come uninvited, we don't want you there. And so really, that homesteader mentality, that independence has limited us in connecting and being a connected community is how we grow, is how we're able to actually do things more efficiently. And the more connections that you have, the better off, the better your life is actually going to be. So connecting, and you know, there may be somebody else south of Clam Gulch or Kisilov that could ride in with you, and you guys could job share, you know, or ride share to your job. And those are possibilities that we need to have some type of a system in place to look at. Where would you go to even find that other person?
All right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, earlier, Sal, when you said, the environmental benefits as well, it didn't, it struck me as, oh, well, sure. But then when you said you put 100,000 miles on your car.
Exactly.
You fill up a bus full of those people, and that's, 500,000 miles that haven't been driven and pollution going in the air.
And gas money that is being spent elsewhere on other products or services within the same community. Yeah. It will pay the community back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I misunderestimated that effect, I think. We are talking with Sherry Connor with the Central Potential Hospital Behavior Health, and we're talking about transportation. Me and my co-host, Sal Cassano.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. It's the first time she's co-hosted with me.
I know.
She did a great job.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a little intimidated when I got here.
By Sal or by...
Well, I expected you to be very professional, but then I'm sitting next to her, and I'm thinking she's just another person coming invited.
It'll work out, though, I hope.
No, I think we're doing good.
No, this is great. And public transportation, like I said, it doesn't have to be just people who are struggling or with mental health or any other health issue, but the average everyday person having a ride in from where they live, because we are so spread out, it benefits everybody. And
absolutely,
it puts us around one another more. And that's helpful.
I can absolutely agree with that. Just, I had 4 kids and they all had things going on at different times, and the amount of time you drive back and forth and, is a lot. And the distance that we drive to do things is a lot. And so we don't, there's a lot of times where you don't want to go and go back out and drive. And maybe your kids really need to go to those other events, games or sporting events that they could actually use public transportation for as well.
Just think, just jump on the bus and go into town to your game, and you take the bus home, and it's all at designated times and, like a real city.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. They could, just summer jobs for teens. If you don't live in town, what does that look like? If you're wanting to have your kids have that experience, then you're the one driving them.
Right.
And so, that those are things that actually end up costing you in the end for your kid to have that, that learning experience and those skills. But if there was a bus system, what would that look like? And just like when you went into Anchorage, it probably was not a great experience because you didn't know how to navigate it, weren't educated on it. And so any of our students that are graduating this week and maybe going off to college to Seattle or somewhere, they've never used a bus system probably.
One of the other things that can be impacted with this, and I'm coming from another hat that I wore once for many years, and that was as a driver's ed instructor. And we know that the fewer vehicles we have on the road, the less likely you are to collide with one. Yeah. And so we would see a reduction probably in traffic incidents or accidents or even fatalities when we mass transit people. It will reduce in traffic issues.
That's true. And then tourism is one thing that you don't think about with public transportation. And I know that when I'm planning a trip, I always look, do I want to rent a car? Or are, navigating a big city sometimes is a little bit scary. Or if you're going from, just really not familiar with the area you're going to be in, public transportation is a great idea. And in Alaska, and you're renting a car and you're driving all over, there's a lot of tourists here that have no idea what they're getting into and where they're going or how far it is to home or
absolutely,
they're going to take a little trip out here. Public transportation would be a great option for us, just tourism-wise.
Yeah.
We would have more people interested in coming because they wouldn't be as intimidated by having to rent something and make it someplace else on their own that's kind of isolated.
Or even just the cost of a rental car in the summer in Alaska. Mm-hmm.
And gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's more of a, I don't know, practical question. But does living in our area with its fiscally conservative climate and suspicion of social programs such as, you know, maybe bus rides, how do you see this playing in winning over, you know,
the general population?
Sure.
Them. So I don't see a bus system as a social program. I mean, I have a car and I get in my car every day. And when I get on a public road, I have expectations that public road is maintained. And so if I'm not someone that can get in a car to go somewhere, I kind of have an expectation that there's a public transportation program that I can utilize. And, you know, there is money in our community for public transportation. I think we've used it in a specific way for a long time because we're worried about those ridership numbers. Who will use it? Who's going to support it? How do we sustain that program once it comes on board? But I think as a community, we are also paying a larger price for those that can't get to work, that can't get to health care, that can't actually get out and socialize. All of those things are what keep our community growing. And we're really, you know, I've lived here for over 40 years. So I understand the waiting at a bus stop. As a kid, I waited at a bus stop. We had to walk like half a mile to our bus stop. And there was no street lights. There was, you know, lots more snow. It was colder.
Right.
It was a different climate back in the day. And then you had to wait on the highway for the bus to come along. And it wasn't always on time. And so, you know, that was a transportation system that I utilized from the second grade on my own. And so if I was able to navigate that as a second grader in our community, I guarantee you that the rest of the community here can navigate a different type of system than what we have.
There's really no downside.
There is no downside. No. You know, there isn't. Worrying about sustaining something. Well, I don't know how we continue sustaining anything unless we put a lot of effort into making sure that it's successful. And just like you said, ride sharing, you know, marketing it, saying, hey, this is something that, you know, is great for the community. I know that if I was a student, I could study or read or whatever on the bus as I was going into school or work. There are some things that, you know, that you can do while you're on a bus that you can't if you're driving in on your own. So
finishing editing a newscast.
Ah, there you go.
Absolutely.
You know, earlier this morning, I was Bill Larned was here answering phones, and we were just chit-chatting, and he told me about his youth back in Connecticut. But he said his dad, who worked in New York City as in publishing house, used to take the train like 2 hours every day from Connecticut into New York, and he took a bridge and paid his bought a new car with all the money he saved and won on the train. So there's a chance for, I don't know, three-card money on a bus. It makes them, no, I you mentioned the five-year plan earlier.
Yes.
Is this just been renewed or is it about to be renewed?
So we're in the draft phase now. We just had a public comment period on Monday at the borough building. We at 6 o'clock we all met and did some public comments on that, and we will finalize that at our June 18th meeting at 1 o'clock at the Independent Living Center on K Beach, and so anyone's welcome to come. I'm not sure how we could. I could put the draft version. I'm not sure how people would actually get a copy of that. I could maybe look and see, but they can always call me. I can email them the draft version. My phone number is 714-4197.
Will you have any tonight at the library?
I could actually bring some, and I will bring some for the people that are in the meeting, so I could bring some to the meeting tonight.
Yeah, if it's super thick, maybe they can Xerox it for you there.
No, I can bring copies, absolutely. Ah. But it just basically shows the area, the vehicles that are available throughout our community for coordination, and then it talks about basically the history of our transportation program and where we'd like to see that go. And so then there's also some public comments that will be added in, and you know, if anybody has public comments, they can definitely send those to me and I'll make sure they get added in.
Mm-hmm. What more can you tell me about the system from Nanilchik? We haven't talked about that much. Bumps?
It's called Bumps, and it's Nanilchik Tribal Council. They're Native corporation out there. They actually worked really hard to get that in place and would like to see it grow. So I don't know the exact schedule. I haven't utilized it myself. I know people that have. And it's they took a leap of faith and got it on board, and I've heard great things.
I've heard a couple of good things, too. I ran into somebody I was talking to in a restaurant, and it came up from Kasilov, I guess, or somewhere.
Yes.
And
they had a stop at Kasilov.
Yeah. You know, I just had a message from a listener who was listening to all of this, and he said, you know, this is someone who works out of the area, works in Juneau, and flies back and forth, and they take a cab home from the airport late at night, and from the airport to Clam Gulch is $100.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's that population, too, of folks who have to fly and they don't really want to leave their vehicle and pay the daily rate at the airport to leave their vehicle sit there. So they do take a cab a couple times a month out to where they live, and that's really what it costs.
Wow.
$100.
Man, I was stunned by, what did you say, $20 or $30 from Soldotna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we know how the people who make their living transporting people for money feel about this public transportation idea? Are you supportive, cautiously supportive, cautiously suspicious?
So actually, one of the owner of Alaska Cab is part of our group and has been supportive from the very beginning.
Really?
Yeah. So we also have the new TNT Cab. They've been coming to our group. There are people that will never take public transportation and will always call a cab. There are times when public transportation wouldn't work and you still have to call a cab. So I don't think that there isn't room for more or differences. I think that those are, you know, still going to get services just like they get right now.
Oh, sure. Probably not much in the way of Ubers and Lyfts around here, huh?
I don't know. Actually, that was one of the... I think that there maybe was... Maybe somebody tried to do it at once, but I don't think there's any zoning not to have it or anything, yeah. But I don't know that there is any of that. I was just recently in Atlanta, and they have the scooters that Lyft and Uber have. For $1, you can unlock a scooter, and there's hundreds of them. And they're just GPSed. They're just on the sidewalks everywhere. And 10 cents mm-hmm. a mile.
What? They're all over Seattle.
They're all over big communities.
They work very well, too.
Austin, Texas has them. Yeah, we mm-hmm. rode them around them in downtown where we were at in Atlanta. And we were kind of leery to try it out for the first few days, but then we tested it, and it would be a great thing for... They have bicycles, too, that are motorized bicycles.
But
and
go ahead.
Well, they contract out for the servicing of these pieces of, like, if it's a bicycle or a scooter, and someone comes and picks these things up and takes them home and charges them and then returns them to these locations, and then they go back up online as soon as they're charged. So that's another job that's created for folks who want to service these.
I read an article on the New York Times, I think, about that very thing in New York City. People who making a living mm-hmm. or an extra living in the gig economy, picking these things up and charging them and bringing them back.
Absolutely. And just like our little bike trail that we have that's from Kenai to Soldotna, you could definitely take one of those scooters there. It went up hills. I mean, they were pretty hardy little pieces mm-hmm. of equipment.
Lisa Murkowski has one now.
Seriously.
Seriously. She posted on Twitter yesterday a video of her riding her scooter past the Capitol.
I love it.
Awesome. So, see, there you go. I mean, there's probably just not enough parking in, you know. Yeah, absolutely. So, they were just everywhere. You could just pick them up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we're out of time. I think there's something else coming up here soon. It's about 5 minutes after 1 o'clock. Sherry Connor, thank you very much for talking with us.
No, thank you guys
for
having me.
Super informative. You're going to be at the Soldotna Public Library at 5 o'clock tonight.
5:30.
5:30 tonight, talking about transportation to the group there. The
Climate Control, I think, is what the name of their group is. And they'll be talking about other environmentally impacted issues as well.
Terrific. Well, thanks so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Terrific.
And again, if
interview.
You are interested in the voucher program that ILC has, their phone number is 262-6333. It's a great program. Get signed up now. It'll be restarted July 1.
Terrific. Independent Living Center, right?
Yes.
Terrific. And Sal Cassano, thanks so much for co-hosting with me this morning.
You're very welcome. My pleasure, Jay.
Afternoon. And